Aren't you thankful for that? That you know that God is with you. He'll never leave you. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, one of my favorite books of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 3. I'm preaching this morning on the call of God. I believe God's calling all of us, and the call of God is upon our lives. So take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 1. We'll begin reading with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now notice how he says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the theme of the book of Ephesians. Our riches in Christ. And 11 times in this scripture alone, you'll see that phrase, in Christ, in Him. In Christ, verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. My favorite verse, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Father, we thank You for the perfect Word of God. May we set up and give You our undivided attention, for Your Word is complete, and we need to hear an absolute Word today. We need to hear something that we can sink our teeth into and that we can grow into, Lord. And I pray that Your Word will take root now in our hearts, that there might be spiritual growth. God, if there's one here today who does not know You in pardon and forgiveness of sin, I pray today would be the day they'd say yes to Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I feel like I need to explain the calling of the church. This is burning in my spirit. We're in this class right now. I think we'll be in it through December of dealing with vision for the church. And this is a matter of life and death for us as a church. It's a matter of life and death for us as individuals. Because if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there? You need to know what direction you're going in, and that's where we're at as a church. Where is God calling Gourd Springs? Unfortunately, the word church has lost its meaning. In fact, the word is lost. A lot of groups are choosing to leave the word church out. It's interesting, though, God's word never has. I mean, they're naming all kinds of churches different names, but I want to be affiliated with the church because Jesus said, I'm coming from a church and I want to be a part of His church. Today, it brings to mind a building of bricks, mortar on some street corner, or something of the church as an institutional hierarchy of religious orders or something. To understand what the church is, we need to look at the Greek counterpart, the word church. It's translated. The word church is ekklesia. The term is derived from the root word kalmeo, which means to call or to call out ones. So to understand the definition of the church in the original language, we are the called out ones. We are the assembly of God. So that must be established. I love Romans 8:28. Oh, how it wonderfully defines this assembly of believers. As the word says in Romans 8:28, the called according to His purpose, We are a group summoned together by God for His purpose. We're not a human organization. We are not the result of man's ingenuity or power. We are not built by good religious people. Rather, we've been called by God into existence. The church is not a building. It is not a business. It is not a board. It is not run by boards. It is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we ever get away from that word, body, then we've got away from the meaning of the church. The church are the people. It's the body of Christ, those who are born again. It is not a business. And a lot of people think somehow, I've been a pastor for 40 years and I've had deacons set on deacon bodies who said, well, we got to take care of this like you would a business. It is not a business. It is not a board. It is not a building. It is the body of Christ. And the reason that word is so important, because all those other things are dead. They are. Buildings are dead. Hello? Businesses? You know, that's just a man-made work. It's not necessarily a work of God. The body of Christ, that is a work of God, that God has done a work in you. He saved you. He saved me. And we've assembled ourselves together. But the question is, what is it that God has called us all to do? That's a good question. We should ask ourselves that. I teach a new members class now for children, and I just had a great joy today that an 8-year-old told me today. He said, Pastor Ronnie, I believe God's calling me to be a pastor. I said, really? Tell me all about it. I wished I hadn't asked. Man, he went on and on and on, and after he talked so much, I said, yeah, you're called. No, I mean, he talked forever. I didn't think I'd get him shut up. But anyway, sounds like a preacher to me, don't it, to you? The call of God. What has God called us to do? I heard this story about this boy. He was he grew up on a farm and he was out plowing and he had to rest. He'd just give out. He had no more juice. And so he put his plow to the side and he laid down under a great old big oak tree to rest in the shade, and he was up looking at the clouds, and all of a sudden the clouds began to form letters and he could see them, and one letter was G. And the other was P. And he interpreted that to mean, go preach. And so he got really excited about that. So he went to his house and told his mom and dad, said, Mom, Dad, I took a rest from plowing and I was laying there under this tree and I began to see the clouds, and God formed the clouds and the letters G, P. And I believe God has called me to go preach. And his father looked at him and said, Son, you misinterpret. Go plow. You got to make sure that you're hearing from God, right? That God's calling you. Well, by the way, we got a lot of children and youth that are looking at us. And you know what kind of church this will be in the future? What they see us do. Are y'all with me? So I got two preachers I want to show you real quick. This is a clip that someone sent me on a... what do you call it? Text. I got a text one day and I got a big laugh out of this. This was immediately following our last baptism. So Self and Clay are about to celebrate their 7th birthday. And so here's the clip that their mother sent me. You got that, brother? Turn it up. I would say do it one more time, but what he was saying, he was saying, do you believe? You want to do it again? Now, where did they learn that from? Me. You think they're watching me? Yeah. First of all, he said, wait, do you believe in God? And in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's our future church. They learn more by seeing what we do. It's more about what is caught more than what's taught. They will remember, and I'll never forget those two boys doing that. I got another one. I'm fixing to talk about worship. My first point is a call to worship. So in Vacation Bible School, I was overwhelmed. I think this little boy's name is Garrett, and he was right down here, and I had my little phone, and I recorded Garrett. Now, here's a call to worship. So I'm fixing to preach on the call to worship. Here's our future worshiper. You got that?
In our Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope. We have life. In our Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope. We have life. In our Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope.
Awesome.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching this today. Because I believe we are the chosen, not the frozen. God has chose us to worship Him. And so that's my first point today, that we're called to worship. And the purpose of worship and the purpose of the church is found in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If we would worship like we've been blessed, we look like little Garrett. Have I got his name right? Yeah, Garrett. You say, preacher, we don't need to act like that. Well, you know what? I'd rather see that little fella putting on a dance for the Lord than a dance for the devil any day. Amen? Maybe he will learn that you can have a good time in God's house so you won't hang out with the bars or the other joints that you can hang out with. I'd rather, you know, this Family Life Center, a lot of people saying, well, you know, what's it all about? Stuff like this. To reach these children, to give them a place that they can come and worship God. You say, preacher, I'm going to tell you what kind of worship we're going to have over there. If I'm still your pastor, we're going to have a worship service first thing, and my prayer is that someone's going to get saved. Amen. I mean, the first thing that happens in that building, somebody's going to get saved. I just believe with all my heart, if we understand what is our purpose, and I will tell you, as your pastor, and I've been here almost 5 years this November, let me tell you what I heard from God. Like no other church I have ever been in, I've never heard this from God. But when I came to Gord Springs Baptist Church, I heard from God that you're to lead these people to worship me. And if they worship me, I'll take care of every need they have. He promised that. Yeah, Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, give me a day of worship. Put me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added unto you. You know, we get the cart before the horse. We want to understand, what has God called us to do? Well, He's called us to worship. And our purpose is that we would worship Him out of the spiritual blessings He's given us. I love it the way it says that in verse 3, in heavenly places in Christ. That's the theme of the book of Ephesians, as I said earlier. We have come to this place of worship today in Christ and in Christ alone. No other name are we gathered here today but in the name of Jesus. Amen. The purpose of worship is to bless the blesser, not the blessing. We worship idols when we take the good things and turn them into God things. We end up worshiping the good things and not the God who provided the good things. You don't bless the blessing, you bless the blesser. You worship the one who's worthy. The words chosen, predestination, election do not bother me in this passage because I know that they're all there to remind me that God has a purpose in all things. Paul is more concerned about praising God for the saving of souls than he is about how God goes about saving souls. And people have got all confused, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, how Satan has got into the church to confuse people. I hope that I can help you understand predestination today, election, and chosen, because Satan will do everything he can to confuse people. Our purpose, first of all, we must put this first, is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's a plan. Notice that our spiritual blessing is in Christ, and the phrase appears 11 times, and the great salvation God has provided is centered in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Only through our union with Christ do we have these spiritual blessings. He's exalted by believers accordingly, and worship doesn't just take place at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Some people don't know that. Worship is a lifestyle. It is not a time, 11 o'clock a.m. No. Worship is the life that you live. That's that's a good definition. The life that you live. Are you living a life that honors and glorifies and worships God all the time? Then if you are, let me tell you what happens at 11 o'clock. Super Bowl time, overflow time. Yeah, what should happen here at 11 o'clock should be the overflow of all that's been happening all during the week. I mean, you've been worshiping God all week. You say, preacher, is that the plan? That's the plan. That you live your life for the glory of God. You worship God every day of the week. You come here on Sunday morning and you assemble yourself with the other called out ones. And there ought to be a Super Bowl Sunday every Sunday. Every Sunday ought to be Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Because we are here to worship the living God. And He's made us alive. And it ought to be a lively service. Amen. A church needs to understand from the very beginning what it is so it can know what direction it should be going in. And by the way, I'm going to a place where I'm going to worship for all eternity. Oh, yeah, I'm going to see. And by the way, when I see those nail-scarred hands, I'm just going to have a spell. How about you? I mean, you think about all that God has given us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is God's plan that we worship. What is God's plan? Here's God's plan. I'll give it to you real simple. In Christ, in spirit, in truth. That's God's plan of worship. In Christ, and how are you to worship me? In spirit and in truth. God's leading me to go a direction on dealing with addictions. We are living in a military community. A lot of guys get caught up in drugs and alcohol and pornography. You can't break it with steps. No. And I'm going to show you. It can be broken. I'm going to be preaching some serious, serious messages on how addictions, I mean, the answer to how they can be broken. But they can't happen. Nothing can happen here. Look up here, church, until we follow God's plan of worship. God's plan of worship in Christ, in spirit, in truth. That's God's plan. A church needs to understand what God's plan is. And then third of all, it is praise. Notice what he says in verse 6. I love that verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace, we've been called to proclaim the glory of God's grace. We are like a bunch of pots. Now we wanna try to tell the potter what to do. We do. We wanna worship our way. We wanna do church our way. And listen to me, when you wanna do it your way, you're playing church. That's all you're doing. When you do it your way, a lot of things happen in the church according to man. Not in spirit, not in truth, but according to man's agenda. But we're just a bunch of pots. And the pots don't tell the potter what to do. You know why the pots don't tell the potter what to do? Because the potter can squash your pot. I mean, he's the potter and we're the clay. He knows how to remake us, right? And so here's the thing. What ought to be happening in praise is that we get all of our pots together and we start beating them and praising God. Amen. I mean, we ought to just start praising the Lord for all that He's done for us, giving Him glory. We need to join together in praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The world should look at us and say, look at that group of people at Gorge Springs. They really are in love with Jesus Christ. And by the way, you go to a ball game and listen to how the crowd gets into it and they show their allegiance to their team, and they're hollering out, go Panthers, go Panthers. No? Go UNC. You know, I mean, nobody would ever say go Duke, but anyway, it's how you praise what you pray. And you know what? Who you worship says about who you are. Amen. And people see that in you, just like I mentioned about Summer. She's not just worshiping God here on Sunday morning. She's down at the bank worshiping God. You say, how's that? Giving God the glory, giving God the praise, giving Him the thanks. That's what we all ought to be doing. And I want to ask you something about your decision making. And this was a big thing that I presented to Sherry when we met. Will our relationship glorify God together better than apart? You should always ask this question on every decision you make. Here's the question. Will my decision glorify God? Don't make a decision without asking that question. Will my decision glorify God? The church was established to be a place to give praise to His glory. Our Lord put it this way, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Worship, and here's a definition I found that I thought was really good, a reverent love, an ardent devotion, that's enthusiasm, excitement, passion, and expression of love. That's what worship is. Worship is an expression of our love for God. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I love my wife. I tell her, you know, I had something happen this week. Sherry couldn't go to Spring Lake to get her nails done. You know, they had flood. So she went down here to this little place next to Food Line or whatever it is, and it took forever. I mean, it just took forever. And I said, this is lasting too long. So I walked in there. And you know what? I didn't like what I saw. I'll be honest with you. I walked in there, and a man was holding my wife's hand. So I went right up to the table. And I said to that man, I said, what did I say? Man,
you didn't like him holding.
I didn't like him holding my wife's hand. I told that man that. And I walked out. Now, I was just carrying on with Sherry. But you know what that man said to Sherry after I left?
He said, your husband's a good man. He loves you.
Yeah. Your husband, he's a good man. He loved you. He loved you. He didn't speak good English, but he loved you. You know what? That's how we should. And you know the way we should stand up for our bride, the church? You know, it's time that all of us learn to stand up. You know, I don't like nobody talking against my bride. In fact, amen. You want to make me mad. You mess with Sherry, you mess with me. We need to be careful how we talk about the bride of Christ, the church. And we need to stand up for our church and say, wait a minute, you don't talk about my Savior's bride. Amen? I'm proud of the bride, aren't you? I'm proud of the groom. I believe God had a plan, and He didn't make a mistake at putting Gord Springs Baptist Church here. Not in the past, not in the present, not in the future. So I'm going to praise Him because I know my God knows what He's doing. Amen? We're called to do this, church. That is our call. That is why we're here, to worship Him. Now, the second one gets hard. This is tough. But you know what? I would not be a true preacher of the gospel if I didn't present this call to you, a call to warfare. Because I'm telling you, just as sure as you begin to praise God, you know, Satan has been mad as the devil ever since he got kicked out, that angel of light, Lucifer, because he wanted the glory that God was getting, right? And God said, there's only one in this place getting all the glory, and that's me, because God knows he's worthy of it. So Satan, from the very beginning, he's been doing this a long time, he hates people that worship God. Oh, yeah, he hates people. I don't have time to get all into it, but it's all over the Bible of how that the devil has got people today. In fact, our military fights them all the time. That they really, what it's all about is that we Americans are known as a Christian nation, and they hate that because they feel like we've missed the true God. And they want us, and they're going to do it by force, make us worship Allah instead of the one true living God. I'll die before I worship Allah. I will. And I knew this is on YouTube, so somebody could, you know, get upset at me. But you know what? He died for me. And the way I look at it, I am in a war. We need some true soldiers of the cross. It's interesting. We've got men and women who are fighting for the freedoms of our nation, but we won't stand up for against the devil who's working in our individual lives or in our churches. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to stand up and say enough is enough. I'm going to tell you why. He says it in verse 4. According as He have chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Now, that's where I really want to go at. And I'm probably going to make somebody mad, but you just get used to it, all right? Verse 4. According as He have chosen, we are the chosen, as I said, and not the frozen. Satan is mad as the devil that God gets all the glory for our salvation. The devil wanted the glory from the beginning. The devil wants us to take his defeat and defeat us. He wants to take his discouragement and discourage us. And since he is the God of death, he wants all God's churches to be dead. The church was chosen before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. God already had a plan, and it's all, if you really want to understand these terms, what it means to be chosen, predestined, elected, you understand it always, never, if you take this out, you're going to get it all messed up like a lot of people have. It's all in Christ. I don't believe anybody's predestined to go to hell or predestined to go to heaven. I'm telling you, the predestination takes place when you accept Christ as your Savior. Predestination simply means God has a plan for your life. And God has a plan for this church. Now, Satan knows, and I'll be honest with you, if you only knew a little bit, I mean, just if you only knew just a little bit, how Satan fights everything we do in the church. You know, the media this morning. You don't think Satan fights that back there? They're trying to lead us in worship. Satan's going to fight Jeff Hull and Eric Grimes back there. Rich Yocko, all I've heard from the last 2 weeks, preacher, this is getting tough. He said, preacher, I'm telling you, I'm just sick of the devil. He said, I fought him every way. He said, you would think the church would get a break. The church don't get a break. We end up paying more than what other people pay. You say, well, that ain't fair. Well, get with Rich. He'll explain that to you. It's amazing. A lot of times people think, well, the church, you know, they're a nonprofit organization. They're going to get off. We don't get nothing off. Rich can enlighten you a lot on that. I'm going to tell you, we are chosen, and we're chosen to fight a battle. We're not just chosen to go to heaven. We're chosen to fight hell. Matthew 16:16 states the calling of the church. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to Jesus' answer. Matthew 16:18 And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. People aren't saved by accident. The Lord is building his church. That takes tremendous pressure off me because I don't have to build the church. Years ago, I had a preacher ask me, he said, do you have a great desire to build the church? And I said, no. Why should I have a desire to build a church when Jesus said, I'll build my church? I don't need to compete with Jesus. Hello? Let Jesus build his church. Amen? I didn't die for the church. He did. And folks, let me tell you something. Every person, every single person who walks in the doors of this church, they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. They join this church. I didn't choose them. God did. Amen. Therefore, I'm just a servant. It don't matter if you're yellow, blue, green, red, orange, what your color is, what your education is. It don't matter who you are. My Bible says, whosoever will may come. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to get in the way of how God builds his church. And I'm going to tell you, God knows how to build his church. Sometimes in building his church, he has to cleanse his church. Hello? And God can do that too. He's the potter. We're just a bunch of pots. Okay? And if he wants to squash the clay down, I mean, I'm talking about clay pots. He knows how to take care of clay pots too. We're the chosen though. God chose us. Unredeemed people who assemble under a religious banner named church are not a part of the church that Christ is building. There are so-called churches all over the world that appear to be alive and they're dead, the Bible says. Rather than being called out from the world, they are part of it in spite of their religious exercises. And that's where I want to go right now in talking about the called. So here's a key word, the called. Remember the Greek word for church is ekklesia, the called out ones. Well, according to what God is saying in his word, we're called out to be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is where it's going to get sticky. Number one, we're called to walk in light. If you want to put under that, the called. We are called to walk in light. Matthew 6:22, I love this verse. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, think of the church. That's the way I was thinking when I read this. If thy eye be single, talking about vision, talking about goals, I'm thinking about being focused on God. All right. If the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Christians are to manifest the holiness of our Heavenly Father, our Savior, and the Spirit that dwells within us. The point being is if you've come to this light and your eyes are on Jesus, then your whole life is going to be full of light. This church will not walk in darkness. It will walk in light Because our eyes are on the light. Are y'all following me? Because I'm going somewhere. I'm not done yet. We are to separate ourselves from complicity with the world. We're not to practice the deeds of the flesh. And I've got so many references here that I can't hardly read. Well, there's so many scripture references. He warns us not to love this world system. The Bible says over and over that the world is enmity with God. The world is an enemy of God. It opposes God. We've been called to holy living. Therefore, as a church, we must emphasize the importance of humility, the confession of sin, church discipline, and worship of a holy God so that we might live in reverential fear of God. When a group is unholy, they may call themselves a church, but they are not a true church unless they face the issues of sin. Show me a church that doesn't preach on sin, and I'll show you a church that's full of unholiness. The church must not tolerate unholiness. A pastor can't preach against sin, yet do nothing about it. Otherwise, people will think that biblical instruction and everyday living is unrelated. And that, my dear friend, is the problem in our churches. No one takes a stand anymore on what sin is. We don't take a stand in the church when things are out of order. We want to, and I'll tell you, this is historical. This is true. Most pastors do this because they want to get along with everybody. All the deacons do this. They want to get along with everybody. Everybody wants peace like a river. But as long as there's sin in the camp, you won't get God's blessing. Over and over and over in Scripture. Remember Achan? He hid some of the treasure. Boy, God judged. I mean, Achan, his whole family were stoned to death. You either deal with it now or you deal with it later. God is not mocked. For whatever we sow as a church, we will reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. A church that tolerates sin is not the church of Jesus Christ. It is not. Because God is holy. You say, well, preacher, we don't measure up. You're right. But we've got Jesus, and Jesus measures up. And if Jesus is in us, we're walking in the light. We're not walking in darkness. We've been called to walk in light. We've been called, church. I'm trying to define this, trying to break it down real easy. We're called to walk in love. He says, and without blame before him in love. How are we to live before him in love? Much like worship is defined by how we love our God, I would define a church on how we love one another. The first thing I look for in a church, and I stayed at a church as their pastor for 25 years, because the first time I walked in that church, I felt loved. And I will tell you, the day I left that church, I felt loved. That, to me, is what a church is. If you don't feel loved, why would you even want to be there? Hello? Amen. You know, the Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. To be accepted by someone, both have to agree, right? I mean, you both have. Did you know that God has accepted you? Now, we are to accept him. He gives us a choice. He really does. And I know I'm throwing this Calvinism junk out of the door because I don't believe it. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe everything is in Christ. We are the chosen. We are predestined in Christ. Everything is in Christ. And if you get anything before that, then it's going to get all messed up. We are the chosen. We are the called. And we're called to walk in love. By the way, I will say this about Calvinism. Be careful, because I know I do have some friends who are Calvinists. They are still my brother and sister in Christ. Yeah, they are Christians. It's not like they don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. They just believe a different way than I do. By the way, not everybody in this church agrees on everything, but we're called to walk in light. We're called to walk in love. Therefore, if we can't love one another and love on anybody that comes in here, I would say we're not a church. We're not the church of Jesus Christ. You know, I've been in the process of inviting, called him again, talked to the preacher's wife while I was with Miss Nita having surgery. I was talking to the Presbyterian Church at the Spring Lake, offering our facility, saying, you can come here. You say, well, preacher, you haven't checked with us. Well, I didn't know I had to. The way I look at it is, this is God's church. And if we can help out a sister church, well, those Presbyterians don't believe everything we believe. They believe in the same Savior. Their church was flooded, ours was not. Maybe we ought to offer ours because if the table was turned, we might need to be using somebody else's. Point is, we are to do everything in light. We're to do everything in love. That's what God's called us to do. And if we do that, guess what we're doing? We're squashing the devil. Hello? That's the warfare. And then he says, we're the children, having predestined us, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. We don't get into God's family by adoption. You get into his family by regeneration, the new birth. Adoption is the act of God by which he gives his born ones an adult standing in the family. Why? So that they might enjoy their inheritance now. We can claim who we are in Christ. We are the children of God. And here's the neatest thing I know to tell you, what the Bible teaches about being an heir. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ, which means that he can't claim his inheritance apart from us. We are joint heirs. I'm telling you, God looks at us as he looks at his own son. And Jesus, I'm telling you, is glorified in this body because we are the children of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. We are children of the living God, and we're to act like it. Predestination means that God looked down the quarters of time to see and know the people who would believe, and because he knew the identity of those responsive souls, made plans for their future. He predestined that they, believers, would be conformed to the image of his Son, and that they would be trained, educated, prepared, and made ready for service and his kingdom work. And if you see predestination in any other way, you're seeing it, I think, incorrectly, because I believe the right way is to see it in Christ. And in Christ, this is what, just like any parent has a child, they would say, boy, I would love to see, you know, this child accomplish this. I would love to see my child go this direction. Well, that's what Jesus did. He saved us with a purpose in mind, and he knew the devil would try to confuse us and divide us and keep us from working together. But friend, I'm telling you something. If we understand who we are in Christ, we can all work together for the glory of God. We are called the children of God. The church is fulfilling a predetermined destiny, a calling from beyond space and time. In God's mind, there is never a time frame. Everything is an immediate, eternal present. The church was as real to him before the world began as it is now. God continues to add to the church those whom he predetermined would believe in Christ. He knew that you would get saved. He knows all things. And in knowing that you would be saved, he predetermined a divine plan for your life. Friend, look up here. God has a purpose for you. The call of God is on your life. Last thing, and I'm done, the call to witness. And yes, I got to put this in here because all these things is what I deal with every day of my life. I believe I'm called to worship. I'm called, and boy, would you like to be in my shoes, because I'm on the front lines of spiritual warfare every day of my life. I've said in the last few years, just get used to it, but I can't get used to it. It's tough. But I'll tell you what makes it worth it all, that God's called us to tell others what he's done in our life. Look at verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. First of all, the redeemed. To redeem means to purchase and set free by paying a price. Jesus paid too dear a price for our sins for us to keep quiet. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If there's any one thing that a church must be, it is an assembly of people who know the shepherd. Anything less is not a church. Are y'all listening to me? If there's any one thing that a church must be, it must be an assembly of people who know the shepherd. That's the church. Anything less is not a church. There's a lot of people who know the Psalms, but they don't know the shepherd. I read about this old pastor. He was retiring. Years had caught up with him. His voice was cracking. He could hardly speak because of his years of preaching. Although a humble man, he was invited by a high society person to go to this high society luncheon. So they go to this luncheon, and the person heading up the luncheon requests that a famous actor who was there was to present or to recite something that the guests would like him to recite, anything. And so everybody was sort of hesitant, and the old pastor thought for a moment, and he said, well, how about Psalm 23? And the actor said, yes, I do know Psalm 23, but I'll tell you what, I will quote Psalm 23 on one condition, that you stand up and quote it afterwards. The actor stood up. He quoted Psalm 23 word by letter, word by word, just beautifully. He didn't miss a note. When he finished, everyone stood and applauded. They said, wow, what beautiful words, what great pronunciation, your voice is just beautiful to listen to. And they just were applauding. Well, the pastor stood up. He barely could speak. And he quoted Psalm 23 with his old, worn out, crumbling voice. And as he quoted Psalm 23, everybody began to cry, even the actor. There was not a dry eye in the whole place. Realizing what happened, the actor stood up. And here's what he said. You clapped for me, but you wept for him. The difference is obvious. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. Church, we know the shepherd. And there's a lot of people out there, they know about God. Look up here, and I'm almost done. But they don't know God. They know about him. There's a lot of churches that are working for God, but they don't see a work of God. My longing for this church, and I'm pointing over here, right here. My desire, right here, is that Gord Springs Baptist Church will see a work of God. That right there, I'm counting on that Gord Springs Baptist Church will see what God can do. And you know what? This building, this is not my vision. This is not my birth. It came from this church. But I don't believe that God would allow that building to be built if it weren't of him. And I'm going to say this to all of us who have a heart to witness. And I think if you're redeemed, if you're a child of God, you should support anything that's about reaching souls for Christ. That's what we're all about as a church. That's what this building's about. That's what that building's about. That's what this whole campus is about. Because we are the redeemed. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. He has saved us, and we want to see other people get saved. Amen, church? Amen. It is not just a call to witness. It is not a call just to the redeemed, but it's the responsibility of the redeemed. He says in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. As recipients of the grace of God, we have a calling and a responsibility to share this grace. You say, preacher, I sure would love to know what the mystery of his will is. Well, I'm so glad you asked. I want to teach you. The gracious scheme of salvation by faith, the gospel, the appointment of which depended on the sovereign will of God alone, termed a mystery because it was but darkly revealed under the law. The mystery, here's the answer, according to Ephesians 3, 5, and 6, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We have the great responsibility of sharing the mystery of his will. And here's the mystery of his will. That the gospel was not only for the Jews, God's chosen back in the Old Testament, but for the Gentiles alike. Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And Gord Springs Baptist Church, we are called. We have this responsibility of carrying the gospel to everyone. Jesus died for all. I do not believe that there are just a few that God elected. No. My Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to stand on the whosoever. And now my last point is this, the revelation. Because here's the revelation I want to give you. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, but God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Look up here. But his long-suffering to us were not willing that any should perish. Not willing. God's will, if you're not saved today, is for you to get saved right now. You say, how can you say that? You wouldn't be here if God didn't have a purpose for you being here. Hello? You're not here by mistake. You say, well, preacher, someone just invited me. I don't know nothing about this church. Well, at this church, we give an invitation because it is God's will. And I personally believe that you're not a church when you stop giving an invitation. I believe an invitation is to be given because Jesus said it best, whosoever will may come. What is the revelation? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even to him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Our inheritance is that we are God's possession, and everyone should know that we belong to him. Look up here, church, and I'm done. We are the trophies of grace. That's the revelation here. That's what he's saying, that we are his possession. You do not belong to the world. Say that with me. I do not belong to the world. Say it with me again. I do not belong to the world. Folks, you've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. Now live like it. That's your witness. You're to live not like the world, but like Jesus. And if you're still living like the world, you're not a member of the true church. You could be a member of Gorge Springs and be lost, but you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church. The only way I believe that you truly are a member of the body of Christ is that the light of the world has come into your heart. The love of the world, the love of God lives in you. When I look at someone, my first thought is, the Bible says you can know them by the fruit they bear. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. When I see a person in the church that's causing strife and envy and they're gossiping and they're just causing all kinds of problems, I don't see that as love. And I don't see that as a member of the body of Christ. I don't. I think they're a member of some other body. I mean, they're always, and you see them, they're in every church. In fact, there are some churches that are just made up of all of them. I mean, they're dead. You know why churches are dead? Because they've not encountered the living Savior. If you've got Jesus in you, you ought to be excited about that. Here's the revelation. I read the back of the book and we win and we get to go to heaven for all eternity. Hello. I thought about this storm barreling down upon us. And I thought, well, sudden death, sudden glory. But some people say, well, I'm scared to death. I'm afraid to die. Look up here. I'm not afraid to die. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how long you want to live? Well, I'm going to live for eternity. I'm not worried about dying. Hello? I don't belong to me. I belong to him. The revelation is that we are his possession. Our inheritance is that we are God's possession. And everyone should know that. Your neighbors know where you are this morning. They watch you. I watch you. We watch each other. That's God's call. He's called us out of the world, out of our flesh, out of our old nature. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our head. Father, you're here today. I felt your presence. I know, God, that your calling is upon someone's life today. Lord, you may be calling someone today to be saved. I pray your Holy Spirit now would just do his office work of helping that person to get up from that pew and walk down this aisle. And yes, we ask people to come because you left the glory of heaven to come down to this earth to be one of us to die on that cross. Surely we can walk down an aisle for you. So Father, I pray your Holy Spirit now would just do his work of drawing people to yourself and that people understand that you love them, God, and you died for all men, that whosoever will may come. Father, I believe there are those who are called in this church in service to you. There may be someone here called to be a missionary. And they've been struggling and they have felt so frustrated. And it's all because they've not yielded to that call. I pray in Jesus' name that there would be someone bold enough today to walk down this aisle and say, Pastor Ronnie, God's called me to be a missionary. Pray for me. I believe there's some in here today, and I know there are, that you're working in their heart and you're calling them into ministry. You're calling some men here to be pastors. Lord, I would count it an honor to try to mentor and encourage them and help them understand. God, I believe I helped them today understand that it is a call to worship and warfare. It's a call to witness. God, I pray that our church would just be open to receive whosoever will may come. That's what this new building is about, reaching men, women, boys, and girls with the same hope that we found in Christ. That's what you called us to do. That's why you put this church here. You knew this community would grow like it's grown. And the community has outgrown this church probably 1,000 to 1. I don't know. I mean, this community has just bursted forth in growth. And yet the church is still sitting here. We're surviving, but we're not thriving. God, I believe you called us to thrive. And I pray in Jesus' name that we will hear your call as a church to go into the highways and hedges and compel the lost to come in. May we make that decision today to glorify your name. That's my prayer. May we make that decision as we sing this song that we're going to glorify you at this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.